Yeah. Hey, thanks for joining me. It's a delight to be able to pray. I got a couple intentions that just came in that I want to present to you for prayer. And if you need prayer, I'm here for you. Okay. I'm here every day at this time. Set your watch, set your phone, right? Set your alarm, your computer, whatever it may be. And, let's pray. Let's pray together. I just got this intention, and Drew, I'm asking for prayers for clarity with the cause of my son's death. If it's of natural cause or not, I think there's been some possible foul play. I would appreciate prayers for that intention. I can't imagine a mother losing a child, right? It just goes against the natural order of things. But to have your son dead and then not to be sure it was of natural causes is even more troubling. So, Lord, we ask light and illumination to come to the situation and peace to come to this mourning mother. Another person says, I've got an urgent prayer request. Can you pray for my husband, Victor, and myself in our current living situation that we're protected from the workers here who are trying to harm us? I don't know what this is all about. Immediate immigration help and protection from the legal help that we need. We need safe and permanent housing. So we will pray for that. Just immediate financial help for overdue bills and for physical and mental healing as well. All right, Jennifer, we'll be praying for you. Another person, did you hear this one? This person wrote to me and said, would you pray for a Minnesota state representative who had three fingers cut off in a power saw accident? My Lord, my heart goes out to that representative, and we will certainly pray for you. I don't know what the latest is on this, but I had heard the other day, and I meant to pray for this yesterday. There is a congressman who has gone missing. I don't know if you heard this or not. He was exasperated is the word I'm looking for, over, the number of Americans that were left behind in Afghanistan. And he was a representative from Oklahoma. His name was Mark Wayne Mullen. So he tried to put pressure on the U.S. Embassy in the Middle East over there, let him in Afghanistan. I don't know what neighboring country he was in, because he wanted to go in and try to rescue an American woman who had four children. So he went in. I don't know how he got in. He went in. He attempted a second time to enter Afghanistan, and now his whereabouts are unknown. So we don't know what has happened. And that report broke yesterday or the day before. I meant to pray for him with you yesterday, but we'll pray for this congressman who is now missing, for all those in Afghanistan, for all those who have a real need. I'm in studio today with Beth. She's one of my colleagues here. She hails from our creative department. Good to have you in here with us. Beth, good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up?
Just my friends and family and their intentions.
All right, we'll lift them up. And Beth, did you do the cover for Father Rocky's new book?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Really nice job on you. That. I endorsed it. It's Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live by Father Rocky. And you can get it. It's free. It's the deal's still on, right? The deal's still on. There's limited quantity. Somebody say a prayer that my tongue will work today, that I can talk, okay? Oh, what's going on here? Limited quantities. So when they sell out, they're gone. Actually, I shouldn't use the word sell out. There's limited numbers, so, they're first come, first serve. We only printed so many of them, free shipping, free handling. Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. Just go to relevantradio.com. And what's the website, Beth? / what?
/ marriage.
All right.
And this is for everyone, no matter what state of life that they're in, whether you're married or not married. It's a great read for everyone.
It is. It's cool. I went through it. They asked me to endorse it. I had read it years ago. He had written it and then said, hey, look, we're going to re-release this. And I know he updated it. And I was driving back to Pennsylvania with my wife. We're going on vacation, and I had an opportunity to go through it. I'm thinking, it's just really good fundamental things. He spoke to priests. He spoke to lay people. He spoke to people in all walks of life, doctors, psychologists. And it is a great, great read for you. And if you want it, as somebody who's getting married, or maybe you've been married, your marriage is a little bit rocky, if you just need some good, solid advice, these are great rules to apply. Marriage is a vocation. It's a way to grow in holiness, to grow in sanctity, to make your way towards your eternal home. And I think we need all the, as I like to say, bullets in the gun or arrows in your quiver to ward off our enemy, which is Satan, who hates marriage and wants to destroy yours. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And Sister Lucia de Santo said that in Fatima. She said to Cardinal Caffaro years later that final confrontation will be over family and marriage, you know, because life and marriage, Satan hates them both. All right, let's pray. We're going to take some of your Twitter requests today, too, and you can sound off there at Drew Mariani Show with your petitions if you don't get through right now, but let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call today. Mary is waiting patiently in Dixon, California. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey.
My friend in Concord, her name is Miwako Hansen. She has fourth-stage lung cancer. She wants to live, and she's in a lot of pain right now. Miraculous healings for her. Number two, my friend in Tokyo, her name is Setsuko Ono. She has a little bit of dementia. Bring her back to normal. Bring her mind back to normal. Number three, my mother improved her health. She has trouble walking, and she has diabetes. And number four, me, I'm disturbed. I had trauma in my life, and I talk to myself too much. And when I laugh, I sound psychotic, which embarrasses me.
I'm sorry. All right, Mary, let's pray for you then, okay? We'll bring you to the Lord. All right. Lord, I just pray for Mary, for all the crosses that she has in her life. And I just ask you to embrace your daughter and to bring her healing, and I re-echo so many of the intentions she brought forward. I pray for those with cancer. She has a friend with lung cancer, and her mother suffering dementia, and there's those with heart problems. And Lord, life is a journey, and it's often filled with obstacles that oppose our salvation. Quite often suffering enters our life, and I just ask that you will be merciful to us in those times, that you'll give us the grace and the fortitude that we need to continue on. You know, St. Faustina, I was told by the Lord, that suffering is a gift. It's a grace. That through suffering, we become like Jesus Christ. That our love becomes crystallized. And that the greater the suffering you go through, in some respects, the purer the love. The purer the love. And Lord, I thank you for your suffering. I unite my suffering and those who pray with me now to the cross as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Hi, Maria in Wisconsin. Thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm here. I'm praying for my grandma, who is really sick. She's in the hospital with COVID. And I'm also praying for my aunt. She's also really sick with COVID in the hospital as well.
All right. Well, let's pray. Maria, thanks for calling. Thanks for praying. I'm going to pray for you, too, okay? And, Lord, I just ask blessings on this beautiful woman. But I do pray for her aunt and her grandmother. I pray for all those who are battling COVID right now, those who are having side effects from their vaccinations, those who are on ventilators or respirators at this moment in time. Lord, those who are suffering from COVID with comorbidities. And I ask, as I pray every day, for protection for this country from degeneration and especially from disease. Please vanquish COVID-19. I pray against these variants that are manifesting. And for those who are now united with me in prayer, I pray protection over them and their loved ones. As I pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion. Passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Two good friends of mine just popped into my head. Jay, I know you told me you were going under, there's a lot of attack he was undergoing, you know, a lot of spiritual attack. Needs prayer. I'm praying for you still. And Bob, I know you pray with me every day. I'm praying for you and your family. Maggie's taken a lot of the calls or a lot of the tweets that have come in through our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. Please like and follow us on our social media. And please leave us your intentions there. We want to pray for you. Maggie, what's coming in? What can we pray for?
Yeah, Anne asks that we pray that her guardian angel will help to purify her thoughts and her memories. We have an anonymous request to please pray for the soul of John, who died this morning at 98. Brian's asking for prayers for his dear friend's daughter, Madeline, who has been in a drug-filled and abusive relationship for the last couple of years. She's actually now in the hospital due to that abuse. So please bring her healing, peace, and the ability to leave that situation and find some real freedom. Lilia's asking for conversion and healed relationships in the Cheng family. Lisa is asking for prayers for the repose of the soul of Doris Ann Ellis. Annette's asking for peace, comfort, and healing, a miracle in her marriage, and for a good spiritual director she's looking for. Max asking for prayers for Father Jeff Fashing. And Patricia is asking for the conversion of her loved ones, especially for her son, to be delivered from the bondage that he's currently in. Please bring him freedom. And actually, we just got a note from one of our listeners who says that the representative that you were mentioning earlier, they say, according to certain sources, that Oklahoma Representative Mullins is okay. He went dark to protect his location. So
him.
Apparently
Fantastic.
He's on his way home.
Well, praise God for that. We'll pray for safe travel and safe journey. I will pray for those in Afghanistan. Again, those left behind, those suffering, those that have less than us. There's a lot of suffering around the world. I just pray for our world leaders and pray for conversion and for peace, Lord. But I lift up that woman who's in that abusive relationship. I really pray for mercy there. I pray for anyone who's going through abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, abuse within, any sort of violence within the relationship. And I just ask for the healing of those individuals so deeply wounded. And as hard as this is, I pray for their abusers, Lord. I pray for their conversion. I pray for justice. I pray for mercy in these situations. And I lift up every one of those intentions that of course, Maggie brought forward. And let's bring Joseph into this as well. Joseph, thank you for calling in. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. And God bless you for all you do. And,
thank you.
I just have a couple of prayer intentions. I want to pray for my cousin, Philip, who just was home and now is being rushed to the emergency because his oxygen had dropped below 60. He has COVID, and they're going to incubate him. So I want to pray for his healing and strength during this time, and for his wife Debbie as well, for her strength. And I want to pray for those suffering from anxiety, for peace of mind, body and spirit, especially for my sister Maria, my cousin Rebecca, and my cousin Jamie. and I want to pray for all those that will pass within this hour.
Oh, great.
I want to pray for I want to pray for all those for conversion, especially for my siblings and family members. Thank you, Drew.
God bless you, Joseph. They're lucky to have you. You're a prayer warrior, and so comforting to know someone's praying for you. And they're blessed. They're richly blessed. And I just pray for Joseph, Lord, fortify and let him grow in sanctity and holiness, and hear his prayers in a special way. We lift up all those particular intentions as well, and just unite all who are praying with me. And we turn to you with faith, with confidence, with trust, with love, and we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Texas next. Linda, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'd like prayers for my brother who he had a stroke. He's still in the hospital at this time. And he's having problems with his kidney. And he has a blood clot that needs to be taken care of, and yeah, we'll need a lot of weeks of inpatient therapy, so we pray for quick healing.
Wow.
Also for an 8-year-old little girl named Jalen who is suffering from mental problems.
Yeah.
And for all who suffer with mental and liver problems in the family.
Good prayers.
And for my son-in-law, that for his complete recovery from his knee replacement surgery, and a special intention. And for all who are suffering with COVID.
Amen.
And to the end of COVID.
It seems to be the recurring attention every decade just about here has been for COVID. And Lord, I know you hear these prayers. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to pray with so many of your children. We're united as one spiritual family here. And I really pray for anyone who's battling COVID, who is immune problems, or who may be fearful of it. Lord, I ask protection and healing and the eradication of this disease. Be merciful to our country, to our families. Merciful to us. And I lift up those beautiful intentions that came in from Linda, all those who are trying to recover from health problems, from stroke, from depression, from mental disorders she prayed for liver problems. So we had our last caller also pray for those with anxiety. So many people struggle by that. Lord, I ask you, really heal in the area of the psyche today. I ask for psychological, for mental healings. I ask you to heal the heart as well as the body as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Adriana, listening in Los Angeles. Hi, Adriana.
Hi, Drew. I'm asking for prayers that we can place my 4-year-old with Down syndrome in the right classroom, because we've had a rough 3 weeks, and I feel like I have failed him. And just for my mom's immigration situation, thank you.
You got it. I just want to let you know you didn't fail him. I know as a mother, you're doing everything you possibly can to make sure that your boy's taken care of. And I'm glad you got through, because we're going to pray for him today, okay? And we'll pray for all those. I've had several emails who are dealing with immigration problems. We're going to pray with anyone who has legal issues right now that are facing them. But for those whose businesses are in trouble, I had a call a couple days ago from a woman whose business was really suffering, her dance studio. And just for those in the travel industry and restaurant businesses and anyone who's got a small business, Lord, who's just trying to get by, pray for the finances of so many who are now drowning in debt and do not see a way out of this. I ask for your mercy and for your providence. You know, today during Mass, one of the readings was about Christ telling the apostles to go back out after a darn long night of fishing, you know? And he says, throw the net back out there. Here's a carpenter telling a seasoned old salt of a fisherman what to do when they're ready to pull their nets up and get some rest. He went out, and those nets ripped. There were so many fish. God's a God of providence. You know, in an instant, he can change your situation from that barren dryness into a multitude of blessings, graces, healings, and just real surprises. So let's pray for that right now. Lord, I give you my heart along pray with me. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Paquita,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I just want to thank you, before I go, for praying. I mean, that prayer, we spend a good 20 minutes, 25 minutes praying. I know how busy everybody's day is, you know? And yet, every afternoon, it's such a beautifully anointed, such a powerful prayer. And when I see so many people taking that time out for God, I know he's going to bless you. Time is a gift back to God. He's given us time, but we can give that gift back to him by spending it in prayer. And I just, when I see these phones come in, and every afternoon we spend 20, 30 minutes praying, man, there's something very special about that. I just want to say thank you for that. All right, I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll get back into it, okay? Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Thanks for praying with me. It's such a respite for me. I kind of like it. I try to spend time with the Lord every afternoon, and you know, in adoration, I go to Mass, I pray, and I do pray for you. I was in the chapel today, and where I was sitting, there's the inbox for all the prayer intentions that have come in, and there's a lot of them. I'm thinking, oh, man. And our executive director, Father Rocky, he was, you know, we're not just going to pray, oh, Lord, please help all these intentions. He actually wants us to pray for him line by line, and ever since he initiated that, whenever I say, hey, I'll pray for you, if intentions come into me. And I was with Father Rocky. We had taken a pilgrimage together one time. And he had printed out a bunch of these prayer intentions, came in, handed everybody like, you know, 20 sheets of these prayers. And we spent an hour just praying for intentions, went down line by line, prayed for everybody. So I prayed for you today. If you have donated in the past, you're in our prayers. If you've emailed me, you're being prayed for. And we are, we're family, and we appreciate it. I'd ask for your prayers too, if you could pray for me. I mean, I'm asking the Lord for something, you know, and it's a little test of trust for me. you know, and I like it. I'm holding out a big cup, too. I said to him, hey, you know, and I was tested a little while ago. I think I passed the test, and now we'll see how it pans out. So, you know, prayers aren't always answered instantly. Sometimes they're answered in a very slow way, but boy, when they come through, they're quite amazing. I'm going to give you the number. I want you to join me for the conversation. We're going to have Selena Zito is going to be stopping by. The number here, if you want to join me, by the way, it's 888-914-9149. And I want to talk about something a little hopeful, okay? You know, so often we hear this news about censorship. You hear about what's going on in the government. You hear about so many negative things that are in the culture. And if you watch television, right, if you go to the internet, if you read some publications, you just think, how do we get to this point, right? So if you live most of your life online, you're going to think the world's genuinely crazy. And sometimes I do. I consume a lot of media, you know. It looks like it's eternally angry, that there's no love. Everything is divided, right? That no one else can accept anyone else, you know. And we're broken into these camps of, you know, unless you agree with me, you know, you're not welcome. And that's the way it can seem on social media. You heard a little bit of my conversation a few moments ago with the author of that book, Unintended Dystopia, Russ White. It's also that way in the rest of the media. Some studies have shown that the news no longer is really the news, you know? But the majority of news programs and newspapers, it's made up of commentary from anchors or writers or experts that they interview rather than telling you about what's happening, you know, in your world. And I had a journalism professor when I was back, studying to be a journalist. I remember this old salt of a guy, Professor Parsons. I want to just say, hey, thank you for what you taught me. He hated that. He hated the happy talk that you would see on news sets at night. You know, he liked Edward R. Murrow and Cronkite and liked all these. He liked real core, hardcore journalism. Give me the facts. Give me the news. Do it objectively. Don't give me your politics. Don't give me your view. Just report on what's happening and let me know. You know, and I'll make the decision. Right? Couldn't stand that. And I always think about that when I see how the news media has really evolved into commentary. You know, it's really what it is. You know, it's not so often they call themselves journalists. But I think it's more than that, you know. It's so often personal commentary that we see there as well. But, you know, it used to be that reporters wanted color commentary on something going on in the local community or on the national scene. You know, they'd go out, they'd head to a diner, right? There are some outlets that do this. I think Fox sometimes will run to a diner or something like that. And why would they do that? Why would you go to a local diner to get news reports, right? Because that's where the locals gather. I don't know about you. I love a diner. You know, I love diner food. I don't know what that says about me, you know, but I do. I love that some diner food is just downright great, right? You need good diners. There's some really terribly greasy spoons out there, too, though. But, yeah, there's something about diner. It's chill. It's laid back. It's kind of cool. Yeah, I like the people. You know, the coffee there is great. You see these guys, they go out, right? They go to these local diners, and that's where the locals are, and that's where the latest gossip is going on. They know what's going on in the community. They know what's happening. You get a real honest assessment. During the elections, there was a lot of this. They'd go to the different parts of these swing states just to see where people were, you know, and how they felt about the candidates. One Daily Beast reporter said this last week on Twitter. I'll share this tweet. It said, I've said this before, but people who hang out in small town diners are lonely, bleep, who are there only to get off on being waited on. So I take a little bit of umbrage to that because that's not me. I'm not there to get off being waited on. Like I said, I like the coffee. I like the people. I like people, right? So having that kind of media diet, and that's what you get because that's not the only place. There's a lot of other people who feel that way. It can be depressing. It really can. It can be depressing. And it can also cause, I think, a lot of anxiety, a lot of anger, especially against a very arrogant media. I think our media today is arrogant. They have this intellectual superiority, you know? They know all, and, you know, if you don't agree with them, you're moronic. You're a basket of deplorables. That's what you are, you know? That's the mindset. So part of this is because, you know, you're reading what people are writing online, and you're not seeing people face-to-face. You're getting what these journalists from their worldview want to give you. Not every journalist is that way, too. I hate the broad brush. I want to be careful about this. I'm going to be speaking to one in a moment who's not like that at all. You know, that real interpersonal, physical interaction with other people can make a major difference in your life. There's a great contributor to this radio program over the years and an excellent journalist and a wonderful reporter. Her name is Selena Zito. And you know, the reason I like talking to her, she travels the country, literally. She goes to the heartland of America. She goes to the out-of-the-way places. And she puts her finger on the pulse of America, on what's going on in these places, and gets an on-the-ground look at what's unfolding. And she's from Western Pennsylvania. She's in the Pittsburgh area. And she greatly values the ordinary person, like I do. I think there's a lot to that. So she's interviewed all kinds of great people. And I don't want to diminish that. She's interviewed all of the presidents, right? The vice presidents of the 21st century. So, you know, she's not, I just can only go to some outback place and do an interview. You know, no, she's all about it. I mean, she's interviewed some of the most powerful people in the world. But she said she really revels in reporting and talking to ordinary people, telling stories of what they're trying to accomplish in what she calls the middle of somewhere. Not the middle of nowhere, the middle of somewhere. I love that phrase. So she just got back. Check this out, right? She was on a 7,000-mile road trip talking to some leaders, but mostly to ordinary people. And you think she's pretty tired? She said she found it restorative. I love it. I just love it. Hey, I want you to check out her column. She's a great writer. I'll give you her website. All right. It's SelenaZito.com. That's S-A-L-E-N-A, capital Z-I-T-O, SelenaZito.com. I think you'll be glad you went there. Selena, always good to have you on the air with me. Welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. You made me sound really wonderful. I was like, oh, I want to meet her. Oh, wait, he's talking about me.
Wait a minute. That is me. That is me. Hey, tell me about your journey, first of all, and then we can talk. We can zoom out. We can talk about what we're seeing in the culture. Because I'm like you. I get so frustrated by the media sometimes. It's so partisan. You get only one view, depending on what outlet you watch. And it's not reflective, I think, of mainstream media, mainstream America. Tell me a little bit about your experience. Let me know what went down.
It was really great. So if people haven't heard me on the show before, when I travel anywhere, but in particular when I travel across the country, I don't fly, nor do I use interstates. I stick to the two-lane blacktop old U.S. routes that connected the country before Eisenhower laid out all the interstates. And it gives me a great idea of and visual of understanding where we are in the country, how things are changing for the good and for the not so good. And it really gives me the opportunity to just pull over, walk around in a park or a town and listen to people. I mostly listen. I really don't talk. And it gives me a sense of where we are in the country, and which is so completely different than where we are if you turned on the television or you turned on social media. And as you pointed out, I interviewed U.S. senators, I interviewed governors and the members of Congress and state legislatures, but I also talked to the faith community, and I talked to just regular people like you and I, who are going about the job of living and don't view the world in the same way that the world is viewed through the lens of social media. And it was very restorative. Here's a case in point. I'm at Mount Rushmore. I'm by myself and trying to take this sort of pathetic photo with myself with the monument behind me, which is like really sad, right? Because everyone in Mount Rushmore is with someone.
Of course.
And it's right before Sturgis. And so there's all of a sudden I hear this guy say, "Hey, girl, are you by yourself?" And I looked up, like pathetically, it was a group of 30 bikers, who men and women, all different sizes and shapes and colors. And they're like, "Come on, you got a picture taken with us. You never are at Mount Rushmore when you're alone." And so this great photo of me with 30 complete strangers, but welcomed me as part of their community because they didn't want me to have that sense of being alone at Mount Rushmore. And that's just one experience of many that I had all across the country.
You know, I love it. I think you'd find that in any state that you went to. I think Americans are wonderful, and I think people are just fundamentally good. I was saying this to my wife the other night.
There wasn't one state when I didn't find an act of kindness like that.
Yeah, and I was saying this to somebody the other day. I don't know if it was my wife or somebody I was working with. I said, you know, people fundamentally are good. Why? Because they're generous, because we're made in the image and likeness of God, right? And we're called to reflect that. I mean, that's just written into the very core of the human being. I believe that. So often all we see is the ugliness, but I think down deep, people are fundamentally good. I what do you think? I mean, you take a look at the news, you see some of the uglinesses out there, you think, oh, there's some really evil people, and there are. But fundamentally, if you look at this country, we're still a great nation, and the people here are just fundamentally good.
Yeah, we are an exceptional nation where we are. American exceptionalism is evident everywhere. Where is not evident is in the halls of power and wealth. That is where it falls short. And I think people need to be very reflective on that ideal that they need to look to elected officials to show proof of exceptionalism. I think what happened in Afghanistan and how we prosecuted that exit and what we've done since then is great evidence of a failure of multitude of levels from power and wealth.
Yeah. So where's America in general on this administration? You know, it seemed that 80 million people in this country voted for Joe Biden. Right? Are they disenchanted with that decision in light of Afghanistan, in light of the $3.5 trillion, maybe even more than that, money that's going to be spent? You know, where is America right now on what they see unfolding around them?
Well, we're in a very interesting moment. We are in what I categorize as a inside-outside movement, which is very different than left-right. I mean, left-right is always there, right? We're divided 50% left, 50% right, and, you know, with a little squidgy in the middle. And but when you are an inside-outside place, this doesn't happen often, but it does happen, which is evidence of a wave election cycle coming, it is when the people on the outside the institutions of wealth and power, feel incredibly disconnected from the inside. That always hurts, no matter which party is in power. It always hurts party in power in the ballot box. And I think we are going to see the evidence of that in Virginia in November.
Yeah. How do the coasts, California, New York, Philly, Atlanta, you go up and down the eastern seaboard, or you go out west. How do they compare? How are the people in those states compared to the so-called flyover states, you know? What do you see? Is there a commonality there? Is that really misrepresented? Or what do you see traveling 7,000 miles back and forth across our great country?
I see, you know, there's this great thing among American people, no matter if I'm in Georgia or if I'm fly fishing in Montana or if I'm in Idaho or Utah or Nevada or California, we're very aspirational. We want to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want to be connected to each other. And our connective tissue right now is how much we are unhappy and mistrustful of power, of everything that holds power.
Yeah, so true. You say turn off social media, get off the interstate, spend more time over in the overlooked neighborhoods, the projects of small towns. You're going to find, for the most part, the exact opposite of those sentiments that you get on your national news networks and social media platforms. So you'll discover that many who live in the cities, no matter what the color of their skin is, want to find a way out. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. I wrote about, people can go to selenazio.com and scroll through there. I wrote about this Pew study that was done recently that showed just about who was actually on Twitter, who was actually on that social media platform, which is the one that has the sort of worst problem because there's a lot of people that are anonymous.
Yeah.
And it really skewed. It wasn't liberal. It was far left. And so it wasn't even an example of sort of who regular Democrats are. It was an example of the furthest left of the Democratic Party. And it is, to me, disturbing because there are so many journalists who write think pieces based on what they read on Twitter, which I like when I say Twitter is not real life.
That's right. Well, you said my best estimation, and I love this line, of where Americans are culturally and politically, is that we're much closer to an inside-outside moment in our history and not a left-right. We've been so disrupted by our mistrust in school boards, political parties, unions, academia, institutions, and entertainment that it has strained our ties to our traditional cultural curators. I think that's fantastic. I think that's so true. I only have a minute here. Let me get some final thoughts from you on that.
Well, no, I lost you. Are you still there?
No, I'm here. No, go right ahead.
Okay. So my thoughts are, because there's a lot of hurt in the country right now, but there is also a lot of hope. And I know that sounds contradictory, but it's because we have hope in each other and hope in our success and hope in our ability to overcome. But a lot of hurt. Afghanistan, I think it leaves a mark in how we exited it in a way that I don't think people fundamentally understand in my profession. I would also say that we've been hurt by, people feel very hurt and disappointed by how the pandemic was prosecuted and how people, again, in power, the insiders yeah. have treated the outsiders. But by and large, go out 15 minutes outside of any city in the country, and you will feel restored and re-energized by what you meet and hear and listen and talk to.
Well, thank you for a little bit of good news, Selena. It's great to talk to you as always. SelenaZito.com. Her article, The Restorative Power of the American People. There is great hope. We are a great nation. She's traveled 7,000 miles, and she can testify to it. I'll re-echo that. When we come back, we'll talk more. I want to share with you a piece of news that just came across my radar. This is important. It comes from the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Wait to hear what's breaking.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Fact-driven, faith-informed, unfiltered. The Drew Mariani Show, Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
Yeah, I hope to always be there for you that way. Faith-filled, fact-driven. I want to be honest with you about things, and sometimes truth isn't always pretty, right? But you know you're going to get the truth from me. You know I'm going to always try to be as direct and honest as I can be, and I try to keep partisanship out. I try to look at the morality of a lot of what we're talking about here, and I'm glad to be able to be. I was just saying to Maggie during the break, I just love what we do because, you know, I think this country is so great. I think that God has his fingerprints all over this nation from our very founding to this present moment. And you and I were chosen to live at this particular moment. You know, I love American history. I love what happened during the Revolution. And I love the God incidents that occurred in our founding. You know, just unbelievable events that if they did not occur, we may not be a nation today. And I really believe God has a mission for this country. And I think that mission involves you and it involves me. But there's a battle raging right now. And I mean a battle. And it's not just political. It is political. But I think it's beyond that. I think it's with principalities. I believe it's with spirits. I believe it's spiritual. It's between the forces of good and evil, the forces of life and death. And I'm not being melodramatic here. I just saw a report. One of my producers just sent this to me that Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, says that when the House is going to vote, okay, they want to codify Roe v. Wade. This is in response to Texas. Into what they did. And let me just say once again, bravo, Texas. I stand up, I applaud, and I salute you. God bless Texas. And I hope other states across our union take a page out of their book and they defend our fellow Americans, those most vulnerable, those the most defenseless. And they hold true to what our founding fathers envisioned, that every American, regardless of who you are, how old you are, or how young you are in the womb, that you have an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, you do. You have an inalienable right to those to that. And for some reason, we just scrub that. Nah, life, forget about life. Yeah, you can pursue happiness. Yeah, no problem. Whatever you want goes, right? No, the inalienable right to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is being denied to millions, tens of millions of Americans. Through abortion now, we're seeing it, you know, in other areas as well. So Speaker Pelosi, she said that, she said this today, that she's going to vote to enshrine. Don't you love these words? We're going to enshrine into law. I'm using her words now. We're going to enshrine into law reproductive health care for all women across America. Somebody get me my trash can, please. I need to throw up very quickly here. I'm serious. This is making me sick. Oh, reproductive health care. Why don't you just call it what it is? Why are you so adamant about this? If you're so passionate about reproductive health care, find an end around. Find another way to get reproductive health care to women, right? You know, why is abortion such a juggernaut for you? You know, she came out and she said this because, and again, Nancy Pelosi, shame on you because you're a Catholic. That's what I say. Shame on you, Joe Biden. Shame on you, Nancy Pelosi. You who rattle your rosaries and go to mass. Shame on you. As a fellow Catholic, I'm embarrassed. You bring a bad name to our Catholic faith. And you know what? We need prayer for Nancy Pelosi. We need prayer for our Democratic you know, congressmen and senators, those who want to enshrine and codify Roe into law, death into law. That's what they want to do. Pelosi's comments, they came right after the Supreme Court, of course, issued their 5-4 decision. It was split. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. And if you want to hear that, I spoke to a law professor, Professor Teresa Collette from the University of St. Thomas. And we talked about the significance of this and what really went into it. It was a split decision. It happened just before midnight on Wednesday evening, and they rejected a challenge. There was a challenge that came regarding the Texas law that would prohibit the abortion of an unborn baby once a heartbeat can be detected. And Chief Justice Roberts, he joined the court's three liberal judges in the dissents. And shame on you, Judge Roberts. I mean, what's the matter? Sotomayor, too. I mean, well, you know how liberal she is. But the ban necessitates codifying Roe v. Wade. Right, that's what Pelosi says. The ban necessitates that we need to do something. We need to make sure that this is codified. So let me share with you what Nancy Pelosi said. Here's her own words. SBH, she says, unleashes one of the most disturbing, unprecedented, and far-reaching assaults on health care providers and on anyone who helps women in any way have access to an abortion by creating a vigilante bounty system that will have a chilling effect on the provision of any reproductive health care system. This provision is a cynical backdoor attempt by bipartisan lawmakers to evade the Constitution and the law and to destroy not only a woman's right to health care, but to potentially any right or protection that partisan lawmakers target. That's Nancy Pelosi. Okay. So I say to you, Nancy, bring it on. All right, bring it on. You're going to see people rise up. You're going to see a reaction. So we're in the battle. That's why I said we are in the moment right now. We're in the thick of it. It's beginning. I'm loving it. I really am. I'm loving it. I said a little bit earlier that the left went apoplectic. They did. Joe Biden went apoplectic over this whole type of thing. It's nuts. In fact, I'm going to bring Maggie on in a second here because we were talking about Chrissy Teigen. We were talking about what was going on social media. So, final thoughts from Nancy Pelosi. She says this, and then we'll dive into this in deeper depth probably tomorrow. Upon our return to the House, Nancy says, we'll bring up Congresswoman Judy Chu's Women's Health Care Protection Act to enshrine into law reproductive health care for all women across America. Now, let me just tell you what's going on. They're not going to be successful. You know why? Because they have an uphill battle. We have an evenly divided Senate. And look, this goes back to you and to me and our vote. You saw how close Georgia was, right? You see how close this election was in terms of the Senate and the Congress. Your votes matter. And it's not just about the president. It goes when you got to really understand what you're voting for and who you're voting for. And you have to vote informed. says the Senate, what's going to happen is because the Senate, where Republicans, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to filibuster this. So the Senate companion bill to choose measure doesn't have enough support of the 50 Democrats and Democrats. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Bob Casey of Pennsylvania have not signed on as co-sponsors. So I don't think it's going to become a reality for Nancy Pelosi. But do me a favor, because you never say never, right? You don't know how things change. Forces are at work here, and they're dark forces. Let us pray. All right, let us pray. Pray big time. Hey, we have about a minute. Very quickly, Maggie, if I could bring you on. You were sharing with me on social media. You've been seeing the reaction just amongst friends and others. What's going on regarding this decision coming out of Texas?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting to watch online today. It's like watching a great sports game happening. Chrissy Teigen usually leans pretty far left, and she posted something from The Daily Show that was just really, it made me sick to my stomach. So let's pray for everybody that's in opposition to this and hope that the Lord will open their eyes.
You got it. Good advice. Stay with me. I need to take a short pause. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'm going to be back for the final hour to hang out with you. I hope you'll stay with me. We got a lot more to get into. And of course, you're always welcome here anytime. Put this number in your speed dial. It's 888-914-9149. Back with more right after this.